1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill with you. Thanks for being here. This is going to be a fun one. It was a great game last night at Safeco Field. We're going to talk about that. We'll go in-depth with it. Get plenty of reaction after the ball game. A game where really everything came together. Nuno was tremendous on the mound, the best start of his career, including a career-high 10 strikeouts. We'll touch on that. Mariners, 9 hits in the ballgame. 8 of them came from 2 guys. We'll talk about that in a few moments as well. Get reaction from them. We have a fun conversation coming up. I, along with Aaron Goldsmith and Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with a coach on the Mariners coaching staff, Dan Wilson, who is with the Mariners coaching staff this homestand. And it was a fun conversation about what he's been doing this year, what he thinks of a couple of the young catchers that have come up that he's worked with during the course of the season. And it's really been fun to see him in uniform and in the dugout once again, wearing old number 6. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Also, one of those new catchers, Steve Barron, he made his major league debut last night. Shannon Dreyer caught up with Steve Barron. So a lot to get to in this podcast. Very happy that you're here with us for this one. So let's get to the game last night. And it was a ball game where, boy, Nuno was just tremendous. And he was really racking up the strikeouts early and often.
Here's the next pitch. Strike 3 called. He rings them up. He gets Napoli with the curveball. And Vidal Nuno's strikeout parade continues tonight as he's racked up now 7 strikeouts as we're one out into the fourth,
and he was already just one off his career high in strikeouts. His career high was 8, and he actually passed that in the fourth inning.
The wind and the 1-2. Swing and a miss for strike 3. It's another breaking ball. This time the slider to Stubbs. And for Vidal Nuno, he has struck out now a career high 9 batters through only 4 2/3 innings.
Pretty remarkable. And then he would eventually, he'd get to double figures.
The 3-2 pitch on the way. Strike 3 called. Got him looking. The ball disappeared on the way to the plate, reappeared in Barron's mitt, and down goes Torinos. That is the 10th punch out of the ball game for Vidal Nuno. He has set down 9 in a row, and he has shut out the Texas Rangers through 7 innings. What a start this has been.
Fantastic start. 7 innings of one-hit ball, fanning 10. Incredible start for Nuno, the best start of his career, and he got plenty of backup offensively. 4 hits apiece for Mark Trumbo and Kyle Seager, and both going yard in the ball game.
Here's the pitch. He swings and clubs it, barrels it high, right center. It's in Stubbs, a long, long way back. He looks up, and it's gone. Seager, a 2-run shot, and that wasn't cheap at all. That's out towards right center field. He crushes that pitch from Martin Perez. For Seager, it's his 3rd hit. It's the 2nd home run in this game tonight for the Mariners, who now lead the Rangers 5-0.
And for Seager, his 11th home run against a lefty, which is incredible. And he is just blazing hot. He extends his hitting streak once again. Mark Trumbo extends his hitting streak once again. He had 4 hits, and he had a big blast.
Here's the 1-1. And that is launched to left field. It is crushed. It is back. It is gone just short of the upper deck into the Rangers' bullpen. Absolutely blasted. A 2-run home run for Mark Trumbo, and the Mariners now on top. It's 3-0 M's.
That was absolutely crushed. Nearly went upper deck, way into the back of the Texas Rangers bullpen. That was a no-doubter. The Mariners, plenty of offense, 6 runs on the board, again, 9 hits, 8 of them from Seager and Trumbo. And then the bullpen would finish the deal. Farquhar looked very good out of the bullpen. And then Carson Smith, he would end it.
The 2-2 from Smith. Strike 3 called. He freezes it with a slider. And the Mariners shut out the Texas Rangers tonight. The Rangers are held to 1 hit on a career night for Vidal Nuño, who strikes out a career best 10. It's a final score tonight from Safeco Field. It's the Mariners 6 and the Rangers nothing.
Well, it's only the second time that the Mariners have 1 hit the Texas Rangers. The only other time, Mark Langston did it when he 1 hit the Texas Rangers on his own. But this is just the second time the Mariners have done it, and this was not an easy team to do it against. Very impressive ball game for the Mariners. There's a lot of notes out of this one. Of course, Nuño struck out a career-high 10 batters, 8 was his previous high. That was against Washington, and that was out of the bullpen, funny enough. He recorded his first win since June 27th, 2014, against Boston. It's been a long time in between. I mean, you know how wins and losses go. It's not always about performance. A lot of the time, it's not about performance. But 0-11 with a 3.63 ERA in that stretch, 44 ball games in between wins. Kyle Seager ties a career high with 4 hits. Last time he did that was June 15th, 2014, shockingly against Texas. Kyle Seager, his 23rd home run of the season, 2 away from tying his career high. He had 25 in 2014. He extended his hitting streak to 12 games, batting .511 during that stretch. Mark Trumbo, 4 hits. For the 5th time in his career, a 4-hit ball game, 4-plus hit ball game. His hitting streak now sits at 11 games. So impressive game all the way around for the Mariners as they grab the win. Let's get to a lot of sound. I'm anxious to hear from Vidal Nuño. Fun to hear him after the game talk about the big victory and how he pitched. Here he is.
We set the tone early. We got on the board the first inning, and we just went on from there. And Steven just called a great game for me, and we were just connecting every pitch and didn't make no mistakes today. So
he talked about once that chemistry and his nerves went away, you were able to perform better. What did you notice that changed in about the third inning?
It was just the sequence. It was just the game calling and just going up on our business and everything. So it worked out, and finally got that W. So.
Change up was really working for you today. Mm-hmm. Was it a matter of the sequence? Was the pitch different?
It's just my little delivery. I changed my delivery up a little bit today, so that worked out. So I might keep it and just keep on working at it and just strive and get ready for my next outing. So.
How and why did you change that up?
Just staying back a little bit more. It has a little bit more depth to it now. So and it's just the timing of the hitters, just trying to get them off balance and everything. So.
Tip it out. Mm-hmm. 44 games of victory. 20 games, 25
victory.
Yeah. Reaction, come on.
Yeah, it's just today everyone contributed. Everyone did big today, defense, offense, and then us two, the catcher, Steven, and me. So we put a good game on. So
1 hit, 7 innings, you contributed?
Yeah. Got them off balance. That's the key right there. Don't miss with the fastball. So.
Boy, he was pretty humble there about the start, but the changeup, as was talked about in there, was such a key to this start. He threw 28 changeups, which is a lot. He usually does not throw that many. And you look at the splits, and it was one of the highest this season. I think second highest, going off memory. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's his second highest changeup use. He threw over 30, I think, against the Astros in a start. But 28 changeups, but from there, 19 strikes on the changeups. And 9 swings and misses. 9. That is a hefty total. 32% on whiffs. 4 of them put in play, and none of them for base hits. The changeup was the key. And it's interesting, if you go back and listen to what he was talking about when he was talking to Shannon after the ball game about, you know, kind of the new delivery with the changeup. If that sticks, wow. Because it was devastating. It was a really good pitch. If he could duplicate that, boy, that's something. So that is definitely something to watch. And as to the question of him getting another start, because we've seen him in so many roles, he's been so valuable, whether it's been a spot start in the rotation, pitching to a lefty, long relief, whatever it is. Here's Lloyd McClendon answering that and talking about the ball game.
Fidel Nuno. I was cheering in the dugout. Nuno.
Hey, it's been a long stretch for him. I mean, and he pitched well enough that he probably didn't deserve.
It really probably should have won a couple more before that, but we're extremely happy for him. He pitched one heck of a ball game. And heck, it looked like he got stronger as he went along, but I can't, good conscience, keep sending him back out there. But he threw the ball pretty good.
He was at 47 through two pitches, through two innings, too. I mean,
he was at 60 after three, and I was telling Trent, we got to find out who's going to pitch the six because he's not going to last. And you look up in the seventh, he's still going strong.
How surprising is that? I mean, he's been spotting for you here, and he hasn't had a real consistent stretch of innings.
I mean, it's just really, if you think about it, he is so valuable to this ball club because of his ability to swing back and forth and to come out and do what he did tonight. You really don't expect him to be too sharp, but I mean, I can't think of a better performance.
Can you pull him out of the rotation after that?
Can I? Or will I? I highly doubt that he'll come out of the rotation for right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and probably not a big surprise there that he won't be coming out after just brilliance, seven innings of one-hit ball. And here's a great perspective. As you know, I talk about this all the time. I love getting the opposing perspective, especially after a game like this. So here's the skipper of the Rangers, Jeff Bannister, on, well, mostly Nuno.
We had some guys that tried to make some adjustments, and when they looked like they were starting to look soft, he threw a couple fastballs in on our hands, and seemed to just keep us off balance. He had everything going for him tonight. The secondary stuff seemed to be sharp, a lot of movement on it, and it made it tough on our guys. And look, this is a guy, when you look at his numbers, out of the bullpen, he's got really good numbers. As a starter, he struggled. But felt like that the approach didn't work for us tonight.
You guys went through a pretty decent stretch where you but made things happen enough against left-handed pitching. Has it swung back a little bit?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that necessarily that's the case. This is a guy that, I mean, sometimes you tip your hat to a guy that had really good stuff tonight. I mean, it wasn't like that he was just up there throwing pitches in the heart of the plate. There were some tough pitches that he threw to us tonight. Really good secondary stuff. The breaking ball and the changeup that he had kept us off balance. He threw just enough fastballs in the right location to speed us up, to slow us back down, and kept us honest pretty much all night. He showed some moxie, really, with the different deliveries and the different rhythms in his delivery, quick, a little slower. So it's, remember, hitting is a lot of hitting is rhythm. And he kept us off balance and out of rhythm, and he used pitches and moved out of the strike zone.
There it is, the perspective from the other side of things, the Rangers skipper, as the Mariners take the game over the Rangers. And how today, it's Felix Day. The Mariners send Felix Hernandez to the Hill. Day baseball at Safeco Field. Felix against Holland. That is going to be something special. 12:40 first pitch from the safe. Hopefully you get a chance to pull off work and get there. It's the last day, weekday game of the year. The weather's going to be sensational. Felix is going to be on the Hill. I don't know. It doesn't get much better than that. Should be a fun day at the yard as the Mariners look for the split against the Texas Rangers. Right now, here comes a conversation, a fun conversation with Dan Wilson, part of the coaching staff this week, in the dugout this week. He's worked for the Mariners, roving around the minor league system all season. But pretty interesting thoughts on the young catchers and what he's doing right now. Here it is.
This is a very special roundtable. This might be our first on-location roundtable, if not ever, at least in 2015, as we're joined by the man, Dan the Man, Mariners Hall of Famer. And Dan, there was something, Gary and I were talking about this last night on the broadcast. There was something just very awesome about looking in the monitor and seeing Dan Wilson in a Mariners uniform leaning over the railing at Safeco Field during a game. What did it feel like to be back in the dugout last night?
It was obviously a very strange feeling, you know, having not been here for a long, long time. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here, you know, see some of these young guys, especially these two young catchers, get a chance in the big leagues for the first time. And pretty exciting to see kind of that experience through their eyes and you know, get a chance to see Stephen Barron tonight in his major league debut. And I know he's charged up. And I think the trick is going to be to keep some of them calm down more than it is to get them going. But it's super exciting time to be here.
So did you have to pull down your jersey that was, I assume, hanging somewhere in a plaque in your house? Or did they print out you? Did they get you a new one?
Oh, man. Did you and Goldsmith, did you guys rehearse this before?
We did notice that the number was autographed. Did you notice that? Yeah, that was awkward, I thought.
It's great. I tell you what, there is a lot of familiarity, obviously, with some of the clubhouse guys and all the guys that do the stuff behind the scenes are some of the same guys that are still here that when I was playing. So it's nice to see them. And I think maybe we had to blow some dust off a few things to get things to work. But nonetheless, we're ready to roll.
At any point, do you and Edgar just look at each other and shake your head during all of this?
Well, it's been great. You know, obviously having a familiar face, one that you played with in the dugout, is nice. But the staff has been tremendous. It's nice to be in a place, where it's comfortable. And the staff has made it that way. And to see John and Steve is all that much better. So it's been a good experience, and it's really just kind of a week-long thing, and I'll enjoy it and then get on down to work again down in instructional league.
You bring up Stephen Barron. I don't know about Gary and Shannon, but in my experience, Stephen Barron is the first ever call-up who has ever walked right up to me, having no idea who I am, reaching out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Stephen Barron." What can you tell us about the catcher who's making his big league debut? Certainly he has great manners, if nothing else.
Well, and like I said, sometimes we're going to have to calm him down a little bit because he is really excited. But he does a great job defensively, has a good, strong throwing arm. He's a horse of a person back there behind the plate in terms of his physique. And I think blocking really is the best part of his game behind the plate. And his quickness is tremendous, quick feet. And has swung the bat well. You know, obviously over the first part of his career in the minor leagues, his bat has been a struggle for him. But in the last couple of years, really has turned the corner with that and has swung the bat pretty well. And, you know, the nice thing about Steve and John as well is they've made stops all along the way. They've progressed and they've been in different places. They've experienced everything. And that's what ends up really helping you at this level. And I'm excited to see how both of them do over the course of the month.
An interesting thing with Stephen Barron and with Mike Zunino, both about the same age, from the same place. They actually had some tryouts, big league tryouts, together back in Florida. Two different routes. One went the college route, one went straight in to the organization. How different a path is that, and what do you see from the two different routes?
Well, I think it's clearly different. I mean, but I think the end goal is always the same, and that's to get to where they are right now. Stephen has learned kind of pro baseball from an 18-year-old's perspective on the way through to where he is now. John has kind of come in and is a little bit newer to professional baseball, but nonetheless, they've put in the time at each level. They've been successful at each level, successful enough to progress, and they're ready for this stage. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what's important. And John has done well in his brief chances here, and then we get a chance to see Steven tonight. So I'm optimistic for both these guys. It's great for them to get a chance to get their feet wet, to experience what big league baseball is all about, and it's going to make them better players at the end of the day.
What have you enjoyed most about your role this year?
Obviously, it's the relationships, you know, that you build with these guys and seeing guys progress and get better. And those are things that are fun to watch. You get a group of catchers. Catchers are our own breed anyway. And you get us all together and you get a group of guys that are catchers and you kind of understand each other. You understand the commitment that it takes back there. And you bond over that. And it's nice to kind of build on those bonds as the year goes on.
you've no doubt formed a bond, a good friendship with Mike Zunino, and not called up at the end of the Rainiers season. We know by now that he'll be going to an instructional league. What do you kind of take away from Mike in this season? The impressive thing, as Mike Blowers was talking about yesterday, his offensive struggles never really seemed to affect his work behind the plate.
And that's something that Mike and I have talked about, because that's I marvel at that. The mark of a good catcher is that they can separate their offense and their defense. They have to. There's so much defensive energy and mental energy that goes on behind the plate that they have to be able to do that. And Mike is exceptional at it. So that's a big takeaway I have from it. I think the other thing we can all agree on is his work ethic. And Mike is a worker, and he'll work. He'll outwork everybody, and he's going to put the work in necessary to make the adjustments he needs to make, and I think he's going to be a much better player at the end of the day.
I've got to ask, you're cradling the catcher's mitt under the crook of your arm. Is that the gamer?
It was my last gamer, and it's a little thirsty. It needs something to drink because it's very, very dry. But I had to pull it out. My son has used it from time to time, so I had to steal it from him for a little bit. But it's got a little history in it, but nonetheless, it still works.
Dan, this is a real treat to see you in uniform, to see you here at the dugout at Safeco Field, and we know that you're a very busy man, but we so are appreciative of your time. Thanks for joining us.
Aaron, it's always a pleasure. You guys know that.
There it is. There it is.
Some things don't change. The star power doesn't get to his head. This is phenomenal.
Great conversation as always, and speaking of those young catchers, we'll talk to Steve Barron. Shannon actually caught up with Steve Barron, but he's got to feel great. Tough night at the plate, a couple double plays hit into, didn't pick up a hit, but he's got to feel fantastic. He's got a career 0.00 ERA as a catcher. He handled Nuno and handled him very well last night and helped the Mariners shut out the Texas Rangers. Great behind the plate. Here's Steve Barron with Shannon Dreyer.
Catching up with one of the newest Mariners, Stephen Barron. And, you know, this is just great to see. We saw you when you were, what, 17, 18?
18.
You were 18.
Yeah.
We first met you when you were drafted and in spring training. And to see you at the big league level right now is I think a lot of people are so happy to see it. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, you look cool, calm, and collected. You've got the smile on your face, but you just told me it's a little bit different underneath right now.
Yeah, I mean, I might be portraying that right now, that I'm cool, calm, and collected, but inside, I got my mind's running wild right now. I'm taking it all in. I'm going to enjoy this.
Hey, you got the news last night, and you weren't expecting it.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't expecting it. I was happy with my year. I thought I put in some good work. I was happy with what I learned and what I developed, I guess, you know, as a player and as a person off the field. So I was just happy with the year and hoping for the best. And, you know, sure enough, it happened.
And your manager told you, and it took a little while to sink in.
I don't think it's hit me. Like I told the reporters earlier, my body's a little numb. So I don't think it's hit me yet. I was able to sleep, surprisingly, last night. So
you walk into the clubhouse today, you see a locker and you see a jersey with Mariners and your name on it. What was that like?
It's a special moment. I took a photo of it on my phone. I sent it to my girlfriend and my parents, and they were both. They texted, you know, the emoticons on your phone. They texted all those things, and so it was special.
Now you talked about your year, and it's something that we've been following. And when you got called up from Jackson, there was a lot of excitement about that. We've known a long time behind the plate. There's been a lot of good work. It looked like the bat's been a little bit of a difference for you this year.
Yeah, the bat's taken some steps. It started last year. I started to develop an approach. I didn't understand that when I first signed. I'll be honest, like hitting-wise, I was lost. I don't know what I was doing up there. But, you know, as you get older and you start to learn the game a little more, you learn how strategic it actually is and how little things, you know, make a big difference. That's something I started doing this year as I moved up through the system. I started learning things from coaches and putting those adjustments in games and understanding that failure is part of the game and going 0-for-4 is okay, and that you take the 0-for-4 and you try to learn from it and go into the next day with the adjustment in mind and put it into the game. And that's something I did this year, and it's helped me a lot.
Who's been most influential in helping you with that?
It's been all coaches. I don't want to, you know, it's all the coaches. I mean, from AA, you know, Roy Howe, the hitting coach there. Last year, Mike Kincaid, Max Venable. And this year, Corey Snyder in AAA has helped me with my approach and my contact point as far as, you know, getting my hands out here. So I feel like I've come a long way the last 2 years.
You get up here, and one of the first people you probably see is Dan Wilson, and he's somebody that you've worked quite a bit with.
Yeah, that was reassuring to see a familiar face up here, because I came up here, I was like, man, I don't know anybody. But it was nice to see him. He's a fantastic guy. Couldn't ask for a better, you know, catching coordinator. So I was happy to see him, and I think he's going to ease this in for me. So,
How would you characterize just kind of the difference in jumping from level to level to level from, you know, let's say from high A to double A to triple A?
I think once you get to double A, everyone's talent physically, you know, just as talented as everybody else. I think mentally is where you separate yourself. It's being able to perform day in, day out, and being able to prepare, you know, for the game. What can I do today to make myself have the best game possible? Like, that's where the preparation comes in and stuff. I think that was key, was developing a routine and being consistent with it no matter what happened in the game, and take it into the next day and just keep, you know, keep the same routine, same thing every day. So it was just, for me, it was preparation. I think that's what you notice, you know, how guys go about their business, you know, yeah, going through their routine, the focus in each and everything they do.
Kind of maturation, preparation, kind of growing up level to level to level.
Exactly, you know, like. Exactly.
So you're going to get out there, you're going to take a little batting practice, and there's going to be a little rest in the clubhouse, and there's going to be a ball game. How do you watch the game tonight?
How do I watch the game? I'm probably going to watch whoever's, I don't know who's catching him. I'm definitely going to watch Sue Gray, watch the signs that Trent's going to give to him so I get familiar with him. So if I do get thrown in there, I know I'm ready to do it, and I don't screw up the game. So,
so you're absolutely studying tonight.
Yes,
right?
I have
on
to.
On the job.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, again, it's great to see you here. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
One ball and no strikes on Blowers. The 1-0 pitch on the way now. Swung on and belted deep to left center. Fox to the track, to the wall. It is grand salami time for Mike Blowers. And just like that, the M's get the one that broke the back of the camel.
The road Mike Blowers has traveled to the Kingdome has been a familiar yet strange route to Mariner fans. From his hometown of Graham, Washington, to Tacoma Community College, and finally the University of Washington. It took Blowers just 3 years in the minors to reach the big leagues with the Yankees. But once he hit the Bronx, Blowers' trip took a detour.
When I first came to New York, being a kid from Graham, Washington, living out in the sticks my whole life, and all of a sudden being thrust in the Big Apple was a bit much for me to handle, and it was real tough. But when I first got there, I thought things were going pretty well. Bucky Dent was the manager, and he was running me out there pretty much every day, which is what a young player needs to do. And it seemed like once Bucky was fired and Stump came in, he had different ideas, and I stopped playing, and I had to go into a pinch hit role and do that, and have never done that in the minor leagues, and used to playing every day. I just didn't do a very good job of it at all because I didn't know how to.
The 91 season saw Blowers homer on opening day against Frank Tanana and the Tigers. But 9 days later, he received some startling news. He had been dealt to his hometown team.
Well, first of all, when they told me I was traded, I didn't really at the time care who I was traded to. I was just happy to be out of New York. And once I found out that it was Seattle, it made things a lot better. But shortly after they told me that, I was assigned to Calgary, and I wasn't thrilled with that. But sometimes you got to take a step back to make a step forward, and it's worked out for the best.
Blower spent the rest of the 91 year in Calgary, and he would see only 31 games in Seattle in 92. But the Kingdome was still a familiar place. You see, Blowers and his family grew up as Mariner fans, and in 1986, he actually played against the Mariners in a Husky-Mariner exhibition game.
I just remember being real excited just to play in the Kingdome, for one. It was a big league ballpark, and I'd never been in one before other than watching. And we got to play the Mariners, and the only bad thing about that was they broke camp a little early, so we had to face Mike Moore for 7 or 8 innings, okay, and that made it kind of tough on us. But it was a lot of fun. I ended up getting a hit, I think, off of Paul Mirabella in the 8th inning, and it was a big thrill for me and my family, and it's something that I'll always remember.
Though his Husky career spanned only 1 year, it was a memorable one. 1986, Blowers hit .383, 16 homers, 59 RBIs, and he won the Pac-10 Northern Division Triple Crown. Only one other player in league history had done that, John Olerud of Washington State. Now, current Husky coach Ken Knutson remembers Blowers, and he feels that the attitude he showed at Washington has helped him with the ups and the downs of professional baseball.
I think that's been the thing that's kept Mike in baseball, is that he's just sort of done what's been necessary to play. He's always had a good attitude, been a good team player, you know, good makeup to him. And, you know, when he's sent down, he's worked hard, and he's come back up and been a better player.
With a .280 average, 3 homers, and 21 RBIs, Blowers has been a pleasant surprise for the Mariners this year. Earlier in the year, the kid from Graham etched his name in baseball's history books with grand slams in consecutive games, forever linking Mike Blowers with immortals such as Babe Ruth.
At the time that I did it, I had no idea that it was any type of record or anything like that. And actually, I didn't find out until after the game when I talked to you doing the post-game show. But it was exciting for me at the time, but I was even more excited when I heard Dave. They replayed the thing for me, and I got real excited about it. And it was nice of you guys to make a tape for me so my family could enjoy that.
Here comes the stretch. The 1-2 on the way now. Fastball belted deep to left center field. Hulse to the track, to the wall, and would you believe it? Mike Flowers has his second grand slam home run in 2 days.